Psalm 23. Do you know the 23rd Psalm? You ever heard of the 23rd Psalm? Probably everybody I know of, saved or lost, knows something about the 23rd Psalm. A lot of churches today and their religious, I want to call it gargle, as they just repeat things. They'll repeat and say the 23rd Psalm. They repeat certain creeds and prayers and things. This is not your typical 23rd Psalm message. I don't know why I could not get this psalm out of my mind this week. I preached out of the 22nd last week, from the cross to the crown. And I really wanted to bring a message today on Psalm 23. And I was begging God through the week to show me what to do. He gave me one verse out of Psalm 23 to preach on today, just one. So I'm going to read just the one verse, not the whole psalm. You all know the psalm. I'm just going to read one verse, and then we'll see where we go. How's that? Sound good? Yeah. Amen. No complaining now. Psalm 23, verse 1. Let's all say it out loud together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Wow. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could gather together this morning. What a blessing. Again, to be in church. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Jenkins singing to us. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here today that's not saved, Lord, our prayer is that they would not wait until it's too late. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody lost here or maybe somebody's listening online, that today would be their day of salvation. Lord, I also pray for every Christian in this room and every Christian that's listening that they would realize the time is drawing closer to your second coming. There will come a day here soon that we'll no longer be able to serve you here on this planet. Yes, we'll serve you and we'll enjoy our presence with you for all eternity. But Lord, you have given us a plan and a purpose after we were saved here on this planet. We've got a job to do. We have a commission, a great commandment to see to that we try to preach to every gospel, preach the creature to every gospel. Lord, so please help us to do that. Help us to do a better job of that. Speak to our hearts and souls. Help us, Lord, today, right now, to realize how important this verse is that we just read together. Lord, thank you for being our shepherd today. Thank you, Lord, for being our Lord. Lord, I pray that you bless the message. Use it for your honor and for your glory. Lord, I pray that I would just exalt you today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 23rd Psalm, probably the first verse is probably one of the most popular verses out of all of it is the very first one. Everybody seems to know the first verse. Everybody seems to be able to quote that. Even lost people can quote Psalm 23. Many of them can quote the entire psalm. They have no clue what it means. They don't know the message behind it. They don't know the substance that's there, but they know what it says. It's one thing to read the Bible or know what it says as far as knowing the words. It's another thing to take the passage, the chapter, the book, whatever, and apply it to your life and make it do something in your soul. 118 words are here in the 23rd Psalm. Just 118 words. Six little verses. There's 17 personal pronouns in this little book, this little psalm that David wrote. Some believe that David wrote this later in his life as he was looking back, remembering his time that he was out shepherding the sheep. Normally, in that part of the country, the youngest son or the youngest child, didn't have to be a son, by the way, could have been a daughter, but the youngest of the family went out and they were tending the sheep. They were the ones sent out to do the job of shepherding the sheep. They did it whether they liked it or not. The older ones in the household had other jobs and functions, but the way they did it back in those days, the youngest one got to do it. Remember David? He was the youngest in his family. He was out there taking care and tending the sheep all those years as a young person growing up, and he actually took that job very seriously. And he was the ideal shepherd that we see in the Bible next to Jesus Christ. Of course, David is a picture and a type of Jesus Christ. There are other shepherds in the Bible. Abraham was a shepherd. Of course, Jacob and his sons were shepherds. Amos was a shepherd. Abel was a shepherd. There's a lot of shepherds mentioned in the Bible. Jesus Christ himself is called the Good Shepherd. And we'll look at that passage in a few minutes over there in the book of John chapter 10. Charles Spurgeon said this, and I'm going to quote him as he describes this 23rd Psalm. He says this, and I quote, "Sitting under a spreading tree with his flock around him, like Bunyan's shepherd boy in the Valley of Humiliation, we picture David singing this unrivaled pastoral with a heart as full of gladness as it could behold. Or, if the psalm be the product of his after years, we are sure that his soul returned in contemplation to the lonely water brooks which rippled among the pastures of the wilderness. This is the pearl of psalms whose soft and pure radiance delights every eye. The position of this psalm is worthy of notice. It follows the 22nd, which is the psalm of the cross. There are no green pastures, no still waters on the other side of the 23rd psalm. It is only after we read, 'My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?' that we come to, 'The Lord is my shepherd.' We must by experience know the value of bloodshedding and see the sword awakened against the shepherd before we shall be able to truly know the sweetness of the good shepherd's care." End of quote. I want us to take verse 1. I'm going to dissect it a little bit. We're going to look at three things here in verse 1. This is not your typical, again, message on the 23rd Psalm. I have two outlines in my Bible on the 23rd Psalm that I've come up with over the years. The first one here is how we can be, and this is not the message, but let me give you the outlines anyway. You can write them down. Maybe I've already given them to you in the past. I think I have. But the first one is happy in life. Can you be happy in life? Should you be happy in life? I think you ought to be happy in life. I don't think the life is not very good if you're going around, head down, constantly depressed and discouraged. That's not very good. But I believe that you can be happy in life. We see that in verses 1 and 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And so he restoreth my soul. And so I really believe that God, and I've said this before, God wants you to be happy in your life. He gets delight in your happiness. So be happy. Second part of this I wrote down is you can be also happy in death. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And the reason that we'll not fear any evil is for thou art with me. Did I make it good to know that when you're, as a saved Christian, that when you die, Jesus is with you? Isn't it good to know that when you die, you don't die alone? Like the lost, they die alone. There's been accounts of people that were never saved that died in pure agony in hospitals. And doctors have recorded some of those awful deaths that they've gone through because they were without hope. They were without eternal life. But as a Christian, we can die in peace. We can actually die happy. I really believe we can die happy as a Christian. And then the third thing is you can be happy in eternity. And we will be happy in eternity. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You can be happy in life, happy in death, and you can be happy in eternity. I have another outline here, and I outline each verse. Number one is the personal aspect of the shepherd. Number two, the provision applied by the shepherd. Number three, the patience allotted by the shepherd. Number four, the protection accomplished by the shepherd. Number five, the passion achieved by the shepherd. And number six, the presence always with the shepherd. But I want us to just look at verse 1 today. Three things in verse 1 as I've looked at this and prayed about it, and this is what the Lord gave me. Number one is just two words. The first two words of the verse is what? The Lord. The Lord. The Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Lord. That means in our King James Bible that this Lord is Jehovah God. That's what the all caps mean when you see Lord in the Old Testament. It's Jehovah God. Jehovah, the Jehovah of the Old Testament, is Jesus Christ of the New Testament. They're one and the same. Jehovah Jesus. There's no doubt who this is referring to when it says the Lord. It's Jesus Christ. It's the Lord God Almighty. He is the creator of the universe. He is the savior of all men that want to be saved. He is the sustainer of life. He gives life and he keeps us going. Without him in this universe holding everything together, we would all dissipate, disappear, and we'd be gone. But it's Christ that holds those atoms together, the neutrons and the electrons, and just keeps us here and keeps us being able to do what we need to be able to do in our life. He's the sustainer of life. He is the one that will be our judge one day. Those of us that are saved will be at the judgment seat or the bema seat of Christ, and we'll give an account of ourselves. And those that are not saved will stand at the great white throne judgment and be judged by none other than Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Every knee. Satan himself will bend his knee and fall flat in front of Jesus Christ and worship him as God and worship him as Lord. Of course, it'll be too late for him. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Who is this Jesus Christ? He's the second Adam. He's the Almighty. He's the Amen. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the our advocate. He's the angel of the Lord. He's the arm of the Lord. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the blessed and only potentate. He's the beginning of the creation of God. He's the branch. He's the bread of life. He's the captain of the Lord's host. He's the captain of our salvation. He's the chief shepherd. He's the Christ of God, the consolation of Israel, the chief cornerstone, the commander, the counselor. He's David. He's the dayspring. He's the deliverer. He's the desire of all nations. He's the door. He's the elect of God. He's Emmanuel, eternal life, everlasting Father, faithful witness, first and last, first begotten of the dead, firstborn of every creature, forerunner, God, God blessed forever, glory of the Lord, good shepherd, great high priest. He's the governor. He's the head of the church. He's the heir of all things. He's the Holy One. He's the horn of salvation. He's the great I Am. He's Jehovah. He's Jesus. He's judge of Israel. He's the just one. He's the King of kings, the lawgiver, the Lamb of God, the life, the light of the world. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lord of glory, Lord of all, Lord our righteousness, Lord God of the holy prophets, Lord God Almighty, Mediator, Messiah, Mighty God, Morning Star, Offspring of David, Only Begotten, our Passover, Prince of Life, Prince of Peace, Prince of the Kings of the Earth. He's the Prophet. He's the Ransom. He's the Redeemer. He's the Resurrection and Life. He's the Rock. He's the Root of David, the Root of Jesse, the Ruler of Israel. He's Savior. He's Servant. He's Shepherd and Bishop of our souls. He's the Son of the Blessed, Son of God, Son of the Highest, Son of David, Son of Man, Son, S-U-N, of Righteousness. He's the true God. He's the true light. He's the true vine. He's truth. He's way. He's wisdom. He's wonderful. He's the Word of God. He's the Word of life. That's who Jesus is. That's who the Lord is. So number one, we have two words, the Lord. Second thing we see here is my shepherd. Isn't it interesting? Wasn't David a shepherd for many, many years? What is he saying now? He's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm just a sheep. I'm like everybody else around. I'm just like Abel and Abraham and Jacob and his sons. I'm just like Moses. I'm just like them all. I'm just a sheep like everybody else is. I'm nobody special. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. That is an amazing statement to think about that. What a positive statement to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that about Jesus Christ yourself? Can you say that he is your shepherd? That is that personal aspect of the shepherd. Is he your shepherd today? Isn't it good to know that as a saved person, the shepherd is yours? Now that's awesome to think about. That here's God, here's Jesus Christ, he is our shepherd. He's our leader. He's our sustainer. And so when David made that statement, the Lord is my shepherd, it immediately implies a profound yet practical working relationship between a human being and his maker. Between us and God. Between myself and God. What a relationship that we have. We have a sheep-shepherd relationship. We have a father-son relationship. That's a good relationship to have. It links a lump of common clay to divine destiny. It's all we are is a lump of clay. It means a mere mortal becomes the cherished object of divine diligence. I'm just a mortal. I'm just a nobody. I'm just a nothing on this planet. David is not speaking as a shepherd. He's speaking of as one of the flock. He's a sheep. David is reflecting, like, look at who my shepherd is. Look at my owner. Look at my manager. The Lord belongs to me. And I belong to him. Isn't that good to think? There's some good things to think out there. That's one of them. It's like he's bragging on the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, thank God he doesn't just belong to you or just belong to me. He belongs to all of us. As a Christian, we can say the Lord is my shepherd. You can say that. He's your shepherd. He's the one that looks out for you. He's the one that is to be managing your life. How's he doing with that task? Well, he's doing fine. It's the person that he's trying to manage. That's the problem. It's me. It's you. The Lord is doing a good job. It's us that we sometimes just don't listen. So if the Lord is my shepherd, I should know something of his character and I should understand something about his ability if he's my shepherd. Every sheep that had a literal physical shepherd that led them, the sheep understood exactly who that shepherd was. The shepherd could call them by name, and many shepherds had all of their sheep named. And they would be able to call that sheep, and that sheep would be able to respond to that shepherd because the sheep knew the shepherd's voice. And the shepherd knew the sheep's, I was going to say voice, but it knew that, however that goes out there. So if the Lord is our shepherd, we ought to know something about him. We ought to be able to look at the Word of God and see Christ on every page, in every verse, every aspect of our life. We should be willing to accept that Jesus Christ is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I want you to think about this fact. How many stars are there out there yonder? Do you know that nobody knows the number of stars? The closest that they can come to with a number is a one with 24 zeros in back of it. I don't even know what number that is. I know what a million is. I know what a billion is. I know what a trillion is. But beyond trillion, and there's several other zeros in there, I don't know what they are. So there's one and 24 zeros after that. That's how much they think might be out there. But they don't know because you can't count them. You can't put a number. God knows how many there are because he created every one of them. The nearest star closest to us, those of you that are science experts, is what? Well, beyond the sun, I'm sorry. Alpha Centauri, right? Say yes. Say yes. I know what I'm saying. Disagree, class. All right. All right. Alpha Centauri is the closest star after our sun. If you could transport our most powerful telescope to that sun and set it up, I know you can't do that, but if you could do that and look back at planet Earth, do you know that the most powerful telescope we have could not even see planet Earth from Alpha? That's our next nearest star, Alpha Centauri. You couldn't even see. The Earth is so tiny compared to the vast universe. And then put yourself on the planet. Now, if the telescope can't pick up Earth, it ain't going to pick you up, that's for sure. I was going to try to bring a grain of sand in here, but I didn't. Brenda cleaned so good yesterday, there's no dirt on the floor anywhere. So, But if you could take, go out and just, not now it's raining, you'll pick up mud. But if you could pick up a handful of dirt and then put it all away except for one little tiny speck of dirt. And if you can pinpoint that little tiny speck of dirt, that's what you're like on planet Earth. You're just a little tiny itsy bitsy speck here on this planet, and you're almost like nothing. But the Lord is my shepherd. I'm this tiny little speck of dirt on this tiny little planet in the middle of the universe, and God loves me. And the Lord cares about me. And my shepherd wants to take care of me. Just let that sit there and resonate for a minute in your mind. He cares the same about you. And he loves you just as much. And all you are is a speck of dirt on planet Earth. I'll tell you what, this is all pretty humbling to me. This will knock your ego down. This will remove your pride when you think about that. It drains the ego and the pride when you just think that I'm just a speck of dirt on this planet. And a speck, the planet is only a speck in all of the universe. And it means practically nothing. But we mean everything to the Lord. We mean everything to God. Every little speck of humans here, God loves us. Jesus died for every one of us. He shed his blood for every single one of us. There's not a human being alive that he doesn't love and care for. There's not a sheep in his flock that he doesn't love and tend to. Every single one of us he loves. The fact is that Jesus Christ created the universe, and yet David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I belong to him. He belongs to me. Do you know that sheep require more than any other class of livestock? Endless, meticulous care and attention. The behavior of sheep and human beings is very similar in many ways. Don't be offended here. But we have a mob instinct. We like to follow the crowd. And we have that mob. That's what sheep do. Our fears are very much similar. People can have a lot of fear in their life. They fear about everything. Right now, everybody's fearing this new Delta variant, this new COVID, we're all going to die, and we all got to get vaccinated, or it's the vaxxers against the non-vaxxers, and that's all we hear today. And there are people that are literally scared to death of getting this virus. Listen, nobody wants to get a virus. Nobody wants to get a disease. Nobody wants to get anything like that, but there is that fear out there, and it seems like our government is just driving the fear more and more so we can just do what they tell us to do. I'm not complaining. But the behavior of sheep and humans, again, is very similar. The mob instincts, our fears, our timidity. We're very timid when it comes to certain things. Our stubbornness. Sheep can be very stubborn. So can you and me. Our stupidity. Sheep can be very stupid at times, and so can we be very stupid at times. Don't sit there and say, oh, not me, I'm not stupid. Our perverse habits. Sheep have them, so do humans have them. Perverse habits. We all parallel to one another. Yet despise all of these crazy characteristics. Christ chooses us. He redeemed us. He died for us. He calls us by name. He makes us his delight in caring for us. Think about that. You're just a sinner that he died for. You're a little speck of dirt on this planet. And yet, he loves you and he cares about you. Psalm 79, verse 13. Psalm 79, 13. Psalm 79:13. So we, thy people and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Isaiah chapter 40. Go to Isaiah 40, verse 11. 40, verse 11. 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Again, all in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to the Gospel according to John. And of course, we have the great passage in John chapter 10 about Jesus being the good shepherd. He's not just a good shepherd, he's a great shepherd. Psalm 23 is sometimes labeled as the great shepherd psalm. Take a look at just a few verses here in John chapter 10, verse 11. John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus says these words, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." In other words, he knows me and I know him. "As the Father knoweth me, so even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Drop down to verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is the wonderful shepherd, and I am his sheep. And if you're saved, you're one of his flock. You're a sheep also. Thank God for that. The Lord is my shepherd. Back to our text, Psalm 23, verse 1. Here's the third and final point. I shall not want. I shall not want. What another bold statement that David makes. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The sheep utterly satisfied with his owner. Completely satisfied with the shepherd. The shepherd takes care of all the needs of the sheep. Whatever the sheep needs, the shepherd is there to give that need. If the sheep need water, what's the shepherd's job to do? Is to lead them to the water. If the sheep need to forage, they need to eat the grass and they need to be led to a green pasture. The shepherd's job is to go out and find that place to lead the sheep to so they can have plenty of food. That's the shepherd's job. If the sheep gets injured, the shepherd's job is to apply the oil and the wine or the antiseptic to the sheep and heal the sheep. If the sheep get a lot of parasites and things within the wool, the shepherd's job is to take care of the wool. The shepherd's job is to take care of everything. Sheep have babies. The shepherd is there. They say that some of the old-time shepherds literally spent all their time with the sheep, day and night. Wherever the sheep were, that's where the shepherd was. That was kind of like his family. He didn't have time to go back to his own family. That's where he spent all of his time. If an enemy started to come in, if there was some animal threatening the flock, what was the shepherd's job? His job was to fend off that animal, whatever it was. David said that he killed a lion and a bear. As the lion and the bear had the sheep in its mouth, David rescued that little sheep, whatever it was, and David saved the day because he went after that, after those animals. Do you know that we lack nothing as a sheep with Christ as our shepherd? We lack nothing. We lack nothing. Get it? We lack nothing. Our problem is not with the shepherd. Our problem is with the sheep. The sheep want more than what the shepherd wants to give sometimes. Amen. We want sometimes things that the shepherd doesn't want us to have. Because we have a wanting problem. We have a desire problem. We have a lust problem. We have a covetous problem. Amen. Amen. Say amen, because that's the problem that we have. Our problem is not with the shepherd, it's with us. We are discontented at times. Amen. That makes our shepherd look bad. My job is to make the shepherd look good, not look bad. And when I'm running around wanting and lusting and coveting, I'm making my shepherd look bad. I'm making my God look bad. Christian's job has one job in mind, and that is to make his Lord and Savior look great. How are you making your God look in your life? Psalm 84, verse 11. Psalm 84, 11. You got to stop and think about that. How do I make my God look in my life? My attitude, my murmuring and complaining, grumbling. Are you making your shepherd look good or bad? You know what you're doing. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Let's get the last part of that verse. Walking uprightly. You want something? How's your life? How's your Christian walk? How's your Christian talk? How's your Bible reading? How's your prayer life? How's your faithfulness? How's your church attendance? Come on. Think about that. Are you walking uprightly? Are you doing exactly what God wants you to do when it comes to what He wants you to do? You know what God wants you to do. You know where you belong Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You know you're supposed to be in this book every day. You know you're supposed to be praying every day. You know you're supposed to be witnessing and giving. You know all of that. I'm not giving you anything new here today. Matthew 6:33. Some of you got this memorized. Matthew 6, verse 33. It says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But you got to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. First. You know what our problem is? We're seeking everything else first. We seek the things of God last. We put God way, 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 way back in the caboose, it seems like. We put God at the end of all of our desires and all of our things. And we want this and we want to do that and we don't want to go here and we don't feel like doing that. And if you don't feel like doing something, you ain't going to do it. You don't feel like going to church, you're not going to go. You feel like going to church, you go. That's the attitude of most Christians today. Well, if I feel like reading my Bible, I'll read it. But boy, there's a really good show on TV. Or boy, there's this really neat stuff on the computer. Or there's really nice stuff on my device, my phone, that I can do. And so we spend all of our time doing that, and then we throw God in at the last part of the day if we have any time for Him or if we're not too tired. Many are not seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things should be added unto you. Romans 8:32. Romans 8:32. Romans 8:32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? We have an amazing shepherd. Our shepherd wants to meet every single need that we have. It doesn't mean He's going to give you all of your wants. But you know what? He will throw in some of those wants as He goes. That's what a good shepherd will do. A good shepherd will make sure he loves his sheep. So he wants to make sure that his sheep have exactly what they need, but also some of the things that they want. Our God's the same way. If you've been saved any amount of time, you've got some things that you really didn't deserve that God gave you. I can attest to that. God has been so good to me, beyond, way beyond what I deserve. He's given me things that I had no, it blew my mind that God would do some of those things. But you know what? That's our shepherd. It's our shepherd. You live for Him and He'll live for you. Philippians 4:19, you know the verse, but I'll just read it and we'll close with this. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Who's a shepherd? Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Christian, you have everything that you need at your fingertips. You have everything you need. God is a good God. He's a wonderful God. He is a tremendous shepherd. He's always looking out for his sheep. Looks out for every single one of us individually. He loves you. He loves me. We serve a God out of love. That ought to be our motivating factor in our life, is just to serve him out of love. And obey him because we love him. Yes, we'll throw the fear in there, but we ought to be obeying our God because we love him greatly. And we want to make our shepherd look really, really good. I hope and pray that you'll do that in your own personal life. If you're not saved, then you can't say, the Lord is my shepherd, because he's not your shepherd. You have to be saved in order to become a sheep, to become part of the flock, to become Jesus Christ will become then your shepherd. If you're not saved, get saved. Christian, remember the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have no lack. That's what that word means. There's no lack. I don't lack anything. Got everything I need. All the air I need to breathe, I got it. Isn't that good? All the light I need, I have. All the food that I need, I've got. Plus over and above. We have plenty today, and yet we complain the most. Father, thank you for being my shepherd today. As David said in that 23rd Psalm in verse 1, Lord, thank you for being my Lord.